We're now opening up the Transportation Disadvantage Local Coordinating Board meeting. We're now going to go through the roll call.
Okay, Commissioner Burdick, Tomas Bolton.
Here.
Subhash Bias, Deidre Gibson.
Here.
Lawrence Osband.
Present.
Angelita Ward, Nancy Wiseman, Mike Nagelberg.
Yo.
Sharon Green.
Here.
Kelly Martinez.
Here.
David Rafidis.
Present.
Shane Searchwell, Bobby Valentine, David Evans.
Here.
Betty Jones, Dominique Thomas, Marion McDonald Garrett. We do not have a quorum. Or Sharon Green. Let the record report that Sharon Green is present.
Without a quorum, we're not going to be able to do any motions to adopt or approve the agenda or the minutes. We will go right into general public comments. Are there any public comments for this meeting? Seeing none, we're going to continue on. We're going to pass the action items and go into our informative items with the CTC update.
We'll have discussed the action items.
Was there one in particular that you wanted to discuss?
Hold on anyway. The annual operating report.
I think we can discuss it.
Because I do have a question about some of the data that was put into there.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, do we want to do a presentation on that, or do we want to just, you want to give just the highlights?
Why would you like to just go over the summary, and then open for questions from members only?
Yeah, I'll defer to Mike, though, but that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
What are you up to? We're going to give a summary of the TDAOR. For those, I handed this out prior to the meeting. And what is that, to summarize the data that we have collected on the report, actually, that we will submit or have submitted to the City Commission. So if you look at the report, first of all, it's the fiscal year 2014, which runs from July 2013 to 2014 of July. One thing they look at, trips, the number of trips. In the first column, you can see the provided trips, 867,514. The next column is over 3 million trips. Now, that is the bus pass estimated trips based on the amount of bus passes we sold during that given period. So you can see it's close to $3.9 million trips that we provided. If you move to the next section, this is the connection operating cost. And going salary related, professional staffs, all the expenses needed to sustain the service that we provide to the public. Going to the next level, these are our contracted services. Basically, we have three funding groups. There's your ADA, Transportation Disadvantage, and your DAS services. This is what the money is being allocated right now to Metro. They're the only provider on record as of today. The last one is Federation Seagull. This is a special contract we have with these three agencies where they provide service at a much lower rate than what we would pay Metro. So at the end of the day, that's a good thing to us and to the county. The last one is revenue. We have five sources of revenue. One, we have two grants. We have the TD grant. And we have the Area Agency on Aging grant that we get annually. Commuter passes, typically known as our tickets to ride. Then we get fares. These are the amount that we collect for each one-way trip we provide. Village of Wellington, we get $40,000 in the year 2014. The good news in 2015, with the efforts of Joe Desette, he was able to negotiate with them a 33% kick-up. So that will come out to about $52,000 in fiscal year 2015, which is all good. The City of Pahokee gets what we call a pass-through from us. We are the CTC, so we pass. They can't take the money, so they come through us, and we pass it to them because they provide ADA services. It's through the contract or the grant we get from the Americans Older Act. At the end of the day, when you look at the expenses and compare the revenue that we receive, there is ad valorem funding to the tune of $19.9 million. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Michael. We'll open up to members of the board. Are there questions?
Well, I guess my question was more on the TDSP.
Oh.
That was included in the backup.
Okay.
was where I had more of a question than on this. But on this, are 5310 providers providing you with trips and mileage and all that?
Yeah. Currently, we don't have any coordination contracts. So the 5310 providers are not included.
Even though they're reapplying for funding. Okay, thank you.
I think this week, at the end of this week, is going to be the 5310 meeting.
That got postponed to January.
Okay.
So that was supposed to be last Friday. Well, no.
No,
for the vendors, it is this.
Yeah, this week there's one.
This week it was the advisory board that got postponed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Question with the TDSP.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to David on this. Yeah,
I just want to make sure I'm reading this right. If I looked at the total trips, which is 3904, and relate that to the connection operating expenses, it's saying that it's basically just a little bit over a dollar per trip.
Well, you can't look at that because you would factor in bus passes. If you want to break it down to those terms, yes, but I mean, I wouldn't look at it in those terms. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you could ride the bus as many times as you want in a given period.
It's per pass.
Yeah. So if like we distributed a monthly bus pass, I think that's equivalent to 50 trips. So every pass that we did, you multiply by 50, and that's how we understand the trips.
It's a factor.
All right. And I think the good thing to remember about that is that those bus passes are shifting people away from door to door and on the fixed route. Mm-hmm. That's where you save your money at.
Well, okay, so then really it isn't total trips, it's total trips slash bus passes?
Correct, and I guess for clarification, the bus pass, the TD bus pass program is housed under Palm Train Connection, so that's why it's being reported under this, even though it is an aspect of the fixed route system.
My follow-up is how would that compare, but if we're not using it on that level, how would we compare to another county or another public sector for our expenses to bus trips or bus passes? Mm-hmm. Is that something, because I'm not familiar with another, is that something that would be higher or lower? Because it seems to me that that would be a real good number, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure, I don't want you to do a lot of research into it, but if that was, if we're doing that at $1 and everybody else is doing it at 10, mm-hmm. then it's something substantial.
The state does compare that county by county, statewide. Uh-huh. It's not a exactly fair comparison because rural counties that don't have the fixed route service aren't going to be able to report those, but those areas such as us, Broward, Dade, Orlando, Jacksonville, that have huge fixed route systems, it skews the numbers. But the state compares it, and there is an annual report comparing not only the different areas, but then, as you said, the cost per trip. If you average those in, it would be a dollar. But
I like to say it's something positive. That, mm-hmm. Look, I know we all have a problem with certain vectors or certain situations here, but it's like, look, we're providing a service at X cost compared to someone else who's providing it at a higher cost. Palm Beach County, that's an asset for mm-hmm. our system that we have in place right now. Could it be better? Everything could be better, all right? But in this particular view, this is the way I would be looking at it.
That's great to keep on the positives, and yeah, that's one of the things the Board of County Commissioners have been very good with us with the bus passes in terms of providing that the discount, $15 and $20 per pass, where if you go to Broward and Miami-Dade, they don't have any subsidies. Right. I like that. They have for a few populations, but not a large discounted pass as we have.
And just something else to point out, this is the Transportation Disadvantage Annual Operating Report. It's also on a different fiscal year than ours. It's also on a different fiscal year than ours, and a lot of the formulas are based on the formulas for Transportation Disadvantage reporting.
Okay.
So it's not almost exactly the same way we report things.
Okay, well, I want to make sure that, like I said, I'm viewing it the same way. I don't want to be talking apples and oranges. If there was a standard, then, that's fine. But it looked good to me.
Great. Thanks. Larry, did you want to have a question on the TDSP?
Yes. On the copy of the TDSP that I was reading in the backup, it still showed us being 100% accessible. And back in March, the county commission authorized Metro to change some of their vehicles that were accessible to non-accessible vehicles. And I'm just wondering how we could maintain our 100% accessible rating. Because that wasn't non-dedicated fleet, that was out of the dedicated fleet.
Mm-hmm. And that's specifically on paratransit? Or because the fixed route fleet is 100% accessible.
Right.
We'll look at that then, for when we bring it back.
But remember when Metro took out those, I think they were mostly the federal-bodied vehicles and wanted to include the Malibus and a few non-accessible vans.
But come February, we will be back to being 100% accessible.
Right. I understand that, but it's this reporting period in between that we're not, and therefore the paperwork has to be accurate.
Okay.
But I think for all the trips, and everybody that has requested a trip, if they are disabled, disabled vehicle has gone to them. So
right,
we haven't kept the public short in any way. It just, there was a few extra vehicles that might be there for individuals that didn't
need. The official designation, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Question.
We're going to go to Stanley first. Stanley had his hand up first.
Okay. And on the bus pass calculated trips, how many TD trips, not related to people with disabilities, are provided on that second item on the page? It has zero. Do you see what I mean?
Well, it says, can I just say
yeah,
that? These are all bus fares related trips.
Mm-hmm.
These are anybody on the TD program that we have here at Lincoln.
All right, then the question is, how many TD trips are provided per month or per year that are not related or do not involve people with disabilities, straight TD? Where is that number? And I did ask you before.
You're talking about the door-to-door trips then?
No.
You're not talking about the bus pass trips or the door-to-door
trips? No, I'm talking about the door-to-door trips.
For people who are not disabled?
Yeah, under the TD program.
Yes, TD trips for people who are not disabled.
For a connection is what you're asking?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. I don't have that information with me. I can get you that data that you're asking.
Begs the question, where is all the backup information to these figures that were normally disseminated with the monthly operating report? Now they're not disseminated at all. So there's no way of either researching it or looking at it ahead of time.
Well, in this case, we can just go back to the previous report that we did have it, and basically, of the 67,000 trips provided this particular month, 75 were people who are just low income. So
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Only 75 were provided because the person was solely low income. 75 out of 67,100.
75?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the vast majority of our riders are riding because of their disability.
Say that again. Seven.
75.
Just 75.
75.
Only 75 people ride who are TD with no ADA problems. That's all there is what, in a month or a year?
In a month.
In a month. 75 a month.
75 trips. Not even people.
75 trips. Okay, so that would be half of the people. That's a little bit difficult to understand because in the rundown of TD eligibility, it has all these people with all kinds of other problems that aren't physically disabled, and you say there's only 75 a month.
Yes.
Excuse me, Stanley.
Who are poor, who such can't chance, afford their own transportation.
Correct.
Okay. Well,
Mike and Ron?
You're on the record with that one.
I think this is broken down in the passenger trip information here. So you have the three subsections. You have elderly, children, and then other. And then there's low-income disabled, low-income and disabled, and then other. So that's where your breakdown is for the year. So you asked how many were not disabled, correct?
Yes.
And the breakdown is right here on in Section 3 of the AOR.
Of the Section 3 of what?
Of the annual operating report.
And it says 75?
No, he gave you a month figure. This is the breakdown for the year.
And how much was it, the total?
Do
you have another copy of the agenda package?
Stanley's got an agenda package.
Yeah. Stanley, it's in the agenda package.
Pardon?
It's in the agenda package that you have.
I didn't get that in my package.
Stanley, I gave you, you have the full package.
Okay, we're going to continue on.
Did I get a copy of it?
Now, I have a question, pardon me.
We'll come back, Stanley. We're going to give everybody a turn, but I'll come back to you for your follow-up question.
And that's my question. Larry brought this up, and it's a good question. He said, how come that they didn't have the newer vehicles here? Because the newer vehicles...
That's something separate. That's something separate.
Yeah, we're on the annual operating report, so we're going to keep the questions on that. Are there any other questions?
I have a question.
Yep. It's on the annual operating report?
Yeah, I just wanted to know how much money I buy the books, how much money and where is it reflected in here?
It's on, when you see the, over there, when, on the bottom part, we see revenue.
Revenue, yes. Yeah.
Right, that's your TV, your tickets to ride, you see that number?
Yes. Is it fares?
Commuter passes.
Yeah, right. Commuter passes.
Commuter passes? Okay. I just wanted to know how much, you know, goes in, because I buy the volume type slide.
Thank you, David. Okay. Are there any more member comments? Seeing none, Stanley, you want to have the last question?
Yeah, you quoted a figure of what it costs a year for bus passes, $3 million. Was there couldn't hear.
That was the ridership.
That was the estimated trips based on the bus passes sold for that given state fiscal year.
And how many bus passes? For monthlies or single?
We sold both. Monthly and singles.
And when you figure out how much they cost, you're not talking about the printing of them and the distribution of them. Are you counting how much it actually costs to transport the people in that vehicle?
What we cost is what we're actually charging for that fare. The actual cost that you would pay if you come to get either a monthly or a single day pass.
Well, if there are other riders along that route or in that vehicle, it exaggerates the cost. In paratransit, it's shared ride. There could be two or three people on that trip. The count of this individual cost is not correct.
Okay. With that, we're going to continue on. We're going to go on to the information items with the CTC update. We're going to have our monthly operating report and with Rosanna Santana.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'll be going over our service box for the month of September, and this will close out our fiscal
Pardon
year.
Pardon me, young lady. Would you please speak slower and more wet?
Okay. I'm going to be going over September's service box, and that is going to close out our fiscal year. Our average weekday ridership is 2,958. Our monthly total route ridership, 72,470. And our year-to-date ridership, 859,135. Our service supply facts, I'll go over the dedicated passenger trips for the month, 57,393. And if we go down to the bottom, our on-time performance for the month, 89.2%. And a complaint ratio of 3.95, and we did not meet any milestones this fiscal year. Is there any questions on the front information?
What month are you reading from?
September.
What happened to October? This is November.
That information is not out yet.
Yeah, Stanley, I ask that you go through the chair, though. Do not ask staff directly.
Okay. Please, would you relate that question? We're into November. Why is she working on September's figures and not October's?
Okay, I'm going to go with the, we are on a delay, but we are, now one of the things that we have been asked is that if we could start providing the information on a quarterly basis, is that something that we could do for the next meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Providing to whom? Providing to the
we actually, Bartrans is in the process of revising their reporting, so it's a standardized report across the agency. It'd probably be more beneficial at the next meeting to show you what that is before we say we're going to combine that quarterly.
Would you speak louder and more
I'm actually talking to the chair.
Pardon?
I was actually talking to the chair.
It's supposed to be disseminated to everybody in the room.
I'm looking
all for
it. If you could just repeat, though, a little louder just so the public can hear, but I appreciate it.
PalmTran is going to start providing a standardized report, that being standardized so the same reports are given out throughout the agency so everything looks the same and we're reporting on a consistent basis. Before we say we're going to provide quarterly, I think it would be more beneficial to show you what those reports are going to look like at our next meeting.
Okay.
Again, it's agency-wide reporting.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there something from the MPO that you would prefer on a quarterly basis specifically? Or?
I think the MPO would prefer... I'm going to give the quarterly progress report for last quarter, which we invoice the state, and if those would match up, that would be ideal for the board.
We could provide the previous however many months, but again, you know, like this month, one of the things Mr. Boyce is saying, it's only the 10th of the month, though. We don't have our reports closed out for a few more days, so we're not going to have the previous month by the time the meeting happens.
Yeah. We'll make sure MPO gets whatever they need for billing purposes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Larry?
Do we happen to have the September number of ADA riders that used fixed route?
We don't have that.
That's separate, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that would compensate for the decline in weekday ridership that we're having on the door-to-door service from transferring the clients over to the lower-cost fixed route.
Chair.
Yes.
I just can't add that we've given out 1,999 ADA cards.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that from the agencies too, that they've been sending a lot of people to PalmTran to get the cards. And we appreciate the update of having the unified reports. I think that'll be really nice. Stanley?
Yeah, first I'd like to ask, How did we get in this position where we are no longer providing the backup information, the excellent backup information, to the monthly operating report? Who stopped that? What permission did they get? Did they check with the Board of County Commissioners? Did they check with the PalmTran Service Board, the Power Transit Subcommittee? It just stopped, number one. And number two, I have a question for you. I couldn't understand. My hearing is not that good.
No problem.
Are you saying that you're considering only reporting what was in the monthly operating report on a quarterly basis instead of monthly?
No.
Are you considering that?
We're still going to get monthly reports, but what we wanted to do is with the MPO's reports that are done quarterly, that the numbers would work together, because if we just did it monthly, they weren't coming together as easily.
As long as you're not considering eliminating the monthly backup on the monthly operating report.
We will get updated monthly. It has been decided by staff that they're going to give the summaries of the reports. I mean, it is all public information, so if we did want access to the backup, it is there. And can be provided, but for these meetings, we're just using the summaries.
The question is, will the backup change when the report is made? In other words, I always complimented the monthly operating report for the excellent information.
Mm-hmm.
Might you ask if that information is going to be either eliminated or something else happens?
Okay, I'll ask staff. If somebody did want the backup information, what is the best approach for them to request it? If somebody asked for the backup?
They go through public records.
Okay.
But we can only supply what we have.
What we create.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a standard report, which is what we will have.
Okay.
One more.
Yeah, last question.
But they are obligated to provide that information that they've so well provided over the years. And to stop it on a unilateral decision is not right. to withdraw that information, and several commissioners look at that information every month or so. So for them to unilaterally decide that they're not going to do it is wrong. And you should, of all people, should understand that with all the boards and committees and subcommittees you sit on. Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yes.
All the information is being provided. What you're wanting, though, is the mathematical backup for that information, correct? Or is there a specific information that you feel is missing?
No, they
in the
are
report?
Not reporting for September. They did not report that information, and they did it unilaterally without checking with the commissioners, the Pontrans Service Board, the Power Transit Subcommittee, or the public, which is wrong. They have no right to eliminate those important, excellent statistics without an authorization.
Thank you, Stanley. All right. That next, we'll go to monthly bus pass update with Rosanna St. Hannigan.
All right, I'll finish up our facts for September. Our bus pass sales here in Connection are one-day passes year-to-date, 16,240. And our 31-day passes year-to-date, 76,019. In the middle of the page, we have our intermodal sales and our Pontrans main sales. Intermodal, this information is reported over month-to-month, and we've seen an increase of 76% with 467 bus passes sold in the month of September. And Pontrans main sold a total of 2,453 passes in the month of September, and these numbers will increase for Connection. Starting January, we'll be selling all bus passes. There will be no sales out of Pontrans Main or South County. Okay. So all agency sales and all bus passes will go through here in the intermodal.
Okay.
Any questions?
Stanley?
I know that the accessibility to one-day bus passes is easy through the libraries and other places. To buy a monthly bus pass is difficult. I don't know how many venues would you say sell it? One, two, or three?
Well, the individual
monthlies.
Agencies can sell them, but what we
other
were just the updated was that it...
For the public.
For the public, it would be the... It's now just going to be the tri-rail stations and this building.
All right. The reason I ask that is that we're going to go into a seven-year program. And it appears to me, from information I've received or not received, that we're going to go into the seven-year program with the same things we've had for the past number of years that have not been improved, that have caused people troubles, that have been the subject of discussions in innumerable meetings.
Can I ask, how many tri-rail stations are providing passes?
Just one.
Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between the transportation disadvantaged low-income county subsidized bus passes and the full fare bus passes. It's my understanding, though, that the full fare bus passes will still be available through the public libraries and the other distribution points that they've been at. Mm-hmm. It's only the transportation disadvantaged subsidized pass that you're changing the locations to strictly intermodal in this building. Am I correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
But that's 95%
that
rooting for the whole team.
Okay. Thank you, Rosanna. Okay. Next, any more questions from the board? Okay. Next, we'll go into the transition update with Ron Jones.
Thank you. October 7th, the Board of County Commissioners approved the contract October 7th, the Board of County Commissioners approved the contracts for Pontrans Connection Paratransit Services, specifically MV Transportation for Run Package A, which is North County and 40% of the service, First Transit for Run Package B, which is the South County and also 40% of the work, and Maruti Transportation for Run Package C. It'll do the center part of the county and anywhere else needed, and that's 20% of the work. All three vendors, along with Pontrans, are in the startup transition phase with the new service starting February 1st, 2015. We are also working closely with Metro Mobility during this period to assure a smooth transition. All the transition managers and general managers are on site in Palm Beach County, and the remaining key staff are coming on board. PalmTran is also transitioning the dispatch function in-house, and at this time we have our full complement of staff, and we are currently shadowing the remaining MMG dispatchers and providing direct dispatch functions to assure no lapses in service. Also, the new vehicles are starting to come in very quickly. As of today, we have 90 of our 231 vehicles are in Palm Beach County, and a few more are on the road on their way here now. The vehicles are being stored at a county facility near the fairgrounds until they are moved to the contractor's new operating bases, hopefully the beginning of January. We'll be testing our new MDT system, our mobile data terminal system, next week, again, because it's very different from the tablets that are currently being used. So we need to test it, how it works, and getting through the county systems. Again, in a live but test environment, we'll be out testing them, but there won't be real trips. We won't be picking people up. We'll be using kind of putting in test trips and test clients. And then we hope to test our new radio system shortly thereafter, which again is not a traditional communication. It's a push-to-talk system that actually also works very well in-house, because with that, with the new phone systems, you can actually see where the phone's at. We're having weekly transition meetings with all of the vendors, every other week with the vendors, the alternate week's internal staff, to go over the timelines and make sure that everything is happening according to schedule. And on November 20th at the PTSB meeting, we are having an introduction meeting so everybody can meet the managers for the new companies and also look at some of the vehicles. With that, are there any questions?
Dave, Evan?
I had a question about the transition, and that any incentives being given to current drivers to stay on till the end of the contract. I'm seeing a lot of brand new drivers. I mean, people that I've talked to that have only been there 3 weeks or less than a month, which indicates to me they've got a lot of turnover going on. More than usual, and I'm just wondering, you know, are they offering any kind of incentive for the drivers to stay on to the end?
The incentive is that drivers are not going to be considered by the new employers unless they stay till the end. Now, if
do they know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they're working very well with Metro.
Yes, and Metro has historically had a large amount of turnover.
Oh yes.
If a driver were to leave today for other employment and then want to be considered later, we would have to really look at that closely, because the drivers are told they need to stay to the end, as are all the key staff. If there's a key staff person on board today that for some reason, you know, if Metro says we don't need that position anymore, that's different. But we are looking for everybody to stay on board to keep Metro running as smoothly as possible till the end.
Okay, I thought I heard that Rick Gonzalez had left.
Okay, but that was mutual between, that's why I kind of put a caveat, that if it's mutually agreed where Metro says they have the infrastructure in place to take over that person's functions, and, you know, we are considering that.
Okay. Thank you.
Their on-time performance, how is Metro doing?
Last month was a little low. Mm-hmm. I think it was, we reported 89.
Yeah.
But we hope to continue, especially with us taking over dispatch, we hope to improve that.
Larry?
And one other thing, too, when we say 89, there were a few days in there that the weather was severe, and Metro was looking to have some consideration for the fact that when it's a full day of bad weather throughout the county, there's very little control over on-time performance. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I thought you had announced at our last meeting that we were going to have a presentation of the vehicles here today. Is that only going to be at the service board and possibly at paratransit?
We're looking to, so we can make it as effective as possible, we're looking only to do it at the service board meeting. But moving forward, we are going to look to the general managers to start attending all of the meetings.
No, I meant the vehicles, not so much.
But the vehicles, yeah, we thought it would be better. Plus, today we don't have one of each available for everybody to see.
I just have one.
I'm going to wait for the, you're going to continue for the board members, and then we'll go to the members of the public. Any more questions from members of the board? Okay. Dave?
Okay. I live in Lake Worth. What company?
All three.
Would pick me up?
Could be any one of the three.
Any one of the three?
Correct.
Because you said one would operate north, one would operate central, one would north, south. That's why I'm asking the question.
It basically, in fact, we learned this under the previous contract. It's very difficult to set zones for transportation because of the trip length and the travel patterns.
Okay.
As we always do, we do strive to schedule everything as efficient as possible. That includes having the route start as close to the operating base as possible. Thus, we wanted a provider located in the north, one located centrally, one located in the south. Once the day starts, then the driver's going to go to whatever the next efficient trip is. So it could be any one of the three. Probably you'll be closer to Maruti, but I wouldn't plan on that on a trip to Brick. But again, it also depends on where you're going to be going.
I just wanted to make one comment. Ever since I've been riding in 2003, I've been asking for it. I've been advocating this. One in the north, one in the central, one in the south.
You can't do it.
Because you can't do it, but no. but it's easier. It's easier to handle.
No, it's not.
Okay. Average trip's about 17 miles.
I'd just like to mention, unless you noticed it, that Metro is still advertising for drivers at $8.50 an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we gave Metro, I think, $1,200,000 as a little bonus or incentive to keep going there. And I don't know if they're using that for what purpose, but they're surely not using it to get drivers. I'm very hopeful. But between now, I have it counted on the calendar. I'm not sure if it's, we have 100 days left till February the 1st. If you can get the balance, 90 out of 230 vehicles, if you can get those vehicles in, equip them with the data terminals, train all those drivers, and get everything going, I think it would be wonderful, if not a miracle. Okay? But in the meantime, until you can give assurance to everybody that you can do that by February the 1st, you might as well, in some manner or form, make sure that you're getting drivers in, better drivers than those who are being employed at $8.50 an hour. There's a matter that I brought up several times, and that is now we're paying the drivers or the companies for gate-to-gate transportation. In other words, we used to pay them from their first pickup, and then we used to pay them from their last drop-off. Now they get paid from the time they go out of the garage till the time they get back to the garage. And from past experience, that invites a little bit of, not manipulation, or a little bit of tarrying, because the longer it takes to make your first pickup and the longer it takes to get back to the garage, the better it is. I've made some inquiries and I can't find any information that assures the taxpayers and everybody else concerned that won't happen.
Well, so far the staff has done an excellent job in terms of keeping up to date with all the deadlines and making sure all the transitions are coming. So I think we feel very confident that come February, things will be up and running in the way that they said they would be.
Is that your own opinion, or were you given that?
That's my own opinion in terms of what I've seen them do.
So. 90 out of 230, from your mouth to God's ears.
That kind of implies that the vehicles, having started, they're on the production line, mm-hmm. they're rolling through. We have no reason to believe they're not going to arrive in time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Now we're going to shift to the TD quarterly progress report.
All right. This is the quarterly progress report that we send to the state as a designated official planning agency. So it's really broken into five segments. There's program management, there's service development, technical assistance training and evaluation, and then there's special considerations by the planning agency and special considerations by the commission that usually never get filled out. But you can kind of go through and see that there's quarterly deliverables that we send off. So item 1C is to prepare agendas for the LCB and then prepare minutes. So you'll see that those were, you know, 25% in quarter one. Just going through a couple of other ones really quick. At the last meeting, we did adopt the new bylaws. So item 1G is 100% completed. We also send a current membership roster and mailing list to the state with the first invoice every year. Another couple, you know, provide public notice. The meetings are all in all the newspapers. It's in the Palm Beach Post, I must say. Mm-hmm. Item 1M is we did the annual expenditure report at the last meeting. And for the next invoice, we won't be able to invoice the AOR and the other things that we didn't get to do today because there's no quorum. So just going through a couple more, one of the requirements is that staff attend the TDLCB best practices meeting and training workshop in Orlando, and I attended that in July 29th and 30th, and then we also must attend one official commission business meeting, so we do that as part of that annual training workshop. So if anyone has any other questions regarding the progress report, I'd be happy to answer them.
No, seeing no questions from the board, we'll go to the members of the public.
I did see it advertised in the Palm Beach Post, the meeting, but you had to look really hard in the newspaper because it was printed in black. The background was black, and it was on this, like in a little space in the newspaper. And if you weren't really reading it, you would pass over it. So I think maybe you need to ask them not to print it in black in a little small section of the paper because I read the paper from cover to cover, and I had just happened to see it, you know, on that particular page. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay, and I think, Melissa, if you just want to comment on that, I mean, it was a pretty big ad, bigger than what's
right.
normally
it
posted.
It was a large ad. The very bottom of it, kind of standardize our ads and also to make them consistent with DOT ads and so forth. The very bottom has a black box that you're probably referring to that includes the logo and just the basic who, what, when, where. But there's an entire large paragraph above that that's just typical white background framed in a black border that states the purpose of all of the details of the meeting, but also the purpose of the meeting and encouraging the public in this case to come. So the actual ad is probably 6 inches high or something like that, and it's only the very bottom that's in that black, and that's to get attention, but it's simply restating the information that's in the paragraph above there. Do you happen to have that copy with you, Luke?
I didn't bring the paper.
We also have no control over the placement within the newspaper, but what we do try to do, especially for a meeting like this that's focusing on trying to draw members of the public, rather than put something in the legal ads, the classifieds that the average person is not reading, we're now paying a little bit more to get what they call the display ads. We beg them to put it in the local section of the paper. That happened this time. In fact, it was on the back page of the local section, which I think is an ideal placement. We don't have control. Sometimes it ends up in the main section of the paper, and theoretically it could be in other sections, but we do our best to influence them to get in the local section that we think people are most looking at and also with a noticeable size. And we're also advertising in the Spanish paper, the same type ad translated in a free weekly Spanish paper. So hopefully many Spanish-speaking people, they're picking up that free newspaper. El Latino Seminole are also getting a very similar ad in the Spanish language.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks for the comments.
David?
I just had something to add to this. And in the past, we had this problem for the blind don't take the paper, mm-hmm. typically. And so seeing public notices is very hard. And to remedy that, in the past, we had a phone number for PalmTran that people could call, and they could get the information about upcoming meetings, the dates, times, places, and maybe, you know, even the subjects of the meetings. and that type of thing. Is that line still being used?
Absolutely, yes. 275-15-1475.
Well, I was going to suggest that perhaps we could even maybe expand that to our paratransit line, that maybe that might be one of the other options that you could hit the button for meeting notices and the like. That would give us another point of being able to communicate with the public, especially those of us that are blind and vision impaired and can't read the public notices in the newspaper. And that would help us also be compliant.
I think that's an excellent suggestion.
That would cover both fixed, that way we've got both fixed route covered as well as paratransit, and it's something that people are used to using because they call PalmTran to make their reservations. If you've got an option there and they're interested in the meetings, they'll press that option. They can find out when and where and everything.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, David, for the comments.
You're welcome.
Stanley?
It's a very important question. In the past, PalmTran and PalmTran Connection at different times were designated as the CTC, or the CTC designated them as the research people. In the future, who is going to do the research? Who is going to do the outreach to find out what the needs of the public are, how we can economize on service, how we can improve service? And the second part of that question is, if the MPO is going to do that, how can we be assured that if that information has to go past PalmTran or PalmTran Connection, if it's going to be disseminated to the Board of County Commissioners, who are the CTC, which is the second and, you hope, final question, what is the position of the CTC in the future picture? They are the Community Transportation Coordinator. In the past, I believe that at every PalmTran Service Board TDLCB meeting, they send something up to the commissioners, I think, and whether they looked at it, commented on it, didn't make a presentation of it at the Board of County Commissioner meeting. That has to stop in the future if this program is to improve. So there are a few questions there, and the last one is very important. Now, the last two, who's going to do the research in the future? A PalmTran planner? Of course, Connection does not have a planner, but it's going to be the PalmTran planner or the MPO planner?
The MPO and the CTC will work together. I think the MPO will...
And the CTC.
Hank, let me finish, please.
Go ahead.
I think the MPO will be doing a lot of the new research. I mean, we're just discovering demographics, and the service analysis will come, I think, from the research. And we're going to work closely with PalmTran Connection for that.
All right. But do we have your assurance? In the past four surveys that cost close to $1 million, none of the four past surveys ever reached the desks or appeared in the Board of County Commissioner presentation. That has to stop. Whatever good work you do has to be disseminated to the commissioners.
At the last meeting that Mr. Boyce happened to miss is when we changed the bylaws, switching the CTC over to the MPO from PalmTran Connection.
Actually, we switched.
No, that's incorrect. Yeah.
DOPA.
I don't.
Yeah,
designated official
planning agency.
Okay.
So.
Did that happen?
Yes, but you weren't at that meeting, so.
Was it an agenda item?
Yes, it was.
An agenda item?
Where you were out of town.
Yes. The agenda item, let me understand this, where the Board of County Commissioners are no longer the CTC.
No, this is all.
You have two things.
And right now we're on TD Quarterly Progress Report. This is going a little bit above and beyond. It is on the...
May we get back to it? Because it's very important.
I think this is something that can be discussed. It needs to be discussed with staff. I mean, you're asking for major fundamental changes. I mean, we're open to listening. But I don't know if you're going to get some answers or assurances at this meeting.
Well,
that
either his information is accurate or it's not accurate. Are the Board of County Commissioners still the CTC? He
yes.
said no.
No.
Is
yes.
that correct?
The Board of County Commissioners through Palm Tran is still the CTC. Mm-hmm. The MPO was a designated official planning agency.
Mm-hmm. The Board of County Commissioners through connection again?
Through Palm Tran.
Palm Tran and Palm Tran connection. God, how can you be the coordinator for all the transportation when you have difficulty
you,
coordinating
Steve.
Your
That's
own
That's the
family.
Same way in every
Next.
County throughout the state.
Pardon
so,
me.
Yeah. Okay, next we're going to go to administrative items. Do we have any member comments?
No.
Okay. Seeing that there's none, we're going to be, the next meeting will be March 11th.
Hi. I have comments on the report as well.
Oh.
As a member of the service board, I appreciate what the MPO is doing with the reports. And I applaud them joining in on the transportation of this county. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to, the only reason I knew about this meeting today was Mr. Fraser's planning calendar had it mentioned. I'd also like to know if the rest of the service board members can be notified of these meetings, as well as the backups.
And the public.
Mm-hmm. Is this on the calendar that goes to the Palm Tran Service Board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on it. And that was just a little one-liner and a little 2x2 square.
So are you requesting like an email goes out or something
yeah,
like that?
Email to all the board members as well, service board members as well as the backups.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any more questions or comments? Okay. Seeing none, again, we don't have the quorum, so we're not going to do a motion to adjourn, but we will set the next meeting for March 11th of 2015.
Before we though do part, I do have one thing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ron.
At this year's Commission for Transportation Disadvantage Annual Conference, Larry was nominated for the Advocate of the Year, Volunteer of the Year. While he did not win, they did send a nice certificate of appreciation that I will give to Larry, so I just want to let everybody know.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Ron. It's always good to end in something positive. Hope everybody has a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week.
Can I get a copy of what you're distributing to this meeting?
Yes, no, I have a copy for you right here.
I will read it to me at home.
Okay, we'll make sure you have a copy right now.
You don't need too much turkey.
Double.